Hi, everyone. It's Raghu, and I'm back with Mind Rolling, another edition on Be Here Now Network. And this is kind of a special one, not my usual fare. Got together with some old friends, Danny Goleman, who many of you know wrote Emotional Intelligence, which we all need a lot more of. Krishnadas, who needs no introduction. Rameshwar Das, who doesn't need that much, because I think you all know about Being Ramdas, which he co-authored, which is just a wonderful, wonderful book. And so how this happened is that Danny's writing a memoir, and he said, hey, can we get together just to reminisce and recollect? And that's how it happened. And the interesting thing is that Danny and Ramesh and Krishnadas all went to India at the same time. They collectively got Ramdas to let him connect up through K.K. Shah with Maharaji. And that's a wonderful story that's told by Krishnadas. And off they went and met Maharaji and were the first Westerners. I mean, there were a few Westerners that had seen him before, of course, alongside Ram Dass and Bhagavan Das. But this, they basically were the first of the big run of Westerners. And great stories, great stories. And about first seeing Maharaji and then remember the Ramdas used to tell that bus story about how he thought he was making a decision. They were driving from Bodh Gaya, where they were doing those courses, and they went to on their way to Delhi, and then they made a left turn, so to speak, to Allahabad, where what's called the Sangam, which is the meeting of place grounds of the Yamuna, Ganga, and Saraswati, underground Saraswati River. And so this story is told on their behalf at this point, where we always just heard it from Ramdas. And Ramesh was the first person to see Maharaji. That's where they met Maharaji after not being able to find him for many, many months since they first came to India. So it's great to hear that story. And then, of course, you know the famous story of Ramdas giving Maharaji acid when he was first in India, and then he went home and he had doubt because he didn't know if did he throw it over his shoulder, what did he do, and he went back, and then those guys were with Ramdas in Vrindavan, I believe, and Maharaji brought that up. He brought it up, and did I take that yogi medicine, he used to call it. So that's also a great rendering of that story. And there's also some beautiful recollections of when Ramdas got the stroke and how people, you know, us people recognized the profundity of what happened to Ramdas and how he really, through that process, which was so painful and in many, many different ways. And he became who he truly is. Whereas before, maybe he was doing a little bit more pointing to where he, to who he truly was. And so people are reminiscing around their own take of Ramdas at that time. And yeah, it just makes me think of the first moment I saw him in the hospital. I think he was by then had just gotten out into rehab. And I just walked in the room and I saw him. And he saw me. And I guess the whole thing, I've been keeping a stiff upper lip through it all. And then as soon as I saw him, I just completely fell apart. So did he. We're just crying. Oh, my God. Ram Dass, so much love. That was always there, but the embodiment of it and the way that he did love everyone while after the stroke, and particularly in those years in Maui, pretty astonishing. So here you go. It's not inside baseball, but it's reminiscing from a few friends who went over and got lucky, as they say. I'm kidding. There's no such thing. So here it is. We're calling it, or I'm calling it, We're Still Here, which Krishnas kind of coined at the beginning of the conversation. We're still here. It's like Ram Dass's book, Still Here. So enjoy, enjoy. This is Raghu, Mind Rolling. And on the Be Here Now Network, go to BeHereNowNetwork.com. Boy, there are some tremendously great, great podcasts and great teachers and great thought leaders happening now. And guess what? We're going to have Alan Watts is going to be doing a podcast from the beyond. We're going to start putting out podcasts where we introduce his talks, similarly that I do on Ram Dass Here and Now. So look forward, and we'll see you next time.
Wow. I can't believe we're still here.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Mostly.
We have some extra parts now.
And we're missing some parts as well.
Yes.
Or they're getting changed out.
Or we're getting replacement parts.
Yeah. Yeah. Whose idea was this?
I don't know.
I think it was mine.
It's yours. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wanted to use it as research. Uh-huh. That's what it was.
We're raw material for your memoir.
Yeah, we're just raw material.
Raghu, I'm writing a memoir. It starts with the night I met RD.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah.
That's a story you may not know. Can I tell you?
No. Yeah, please tell that story. I was going to say.
So, you know, I was at Harvard in clinical psychology. It's my first semester. And it was a very dreary December night on the Christmas break of my first year. And this knock comes on my door, and I open the door. This beautiful woman, and she says, "I just got back from Nepal, and I was in a monastery there. And a friend of mine there said, if you're going to Boston, which is where she was, you should look up this guy who lives up in New Hampshire somewhere. And also, when she went to Delhi to wait for a plane, she met a friend of mine who gave her a letter to me, which she was delivering. And she said to me, do you want to go up to New Hampshire? And I said, I looked at her. I said, absolutely, I want to go up to New Hampshire. So I drove her up to New Hampshire. And
once again, the fish gets hooked.
There you go. And it was this huge house. And there was just one light on up some stairs on the side. We went up there. And there was a guy sitting there all in white with a long white beard. And all of these gaudy Hindu deity posters around the wall. And he didn't say anything. In fact, his eyes were closed. And she didn't say anything. She sat down and closed her eyes. And I'd never been in such a bizarre situation. So I just waited until something happened. And then finally he opened his eyes and he started singing a song in some foreign language with an Indian instrument. And then after a while, he starts talking. And it turns out he was Ram Dass, and he, as Richard Alpert, had been fired from the very same program I was in at Harvard. And he knew all of my professors. Some of them hated his guts. Some of them feared him. One of them, David McClellan, was a very close friend of his, and he was my main professor. So that was the beginning of how I met Ram Dass. And then that summer, you remember, you guys, I think you were both there. He had that summer camp.
Yeah.
On the same farm. It was his father's country estate, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Willenrica.
I'm still looking for that photo of you riding on the tractor mowing the golf course.
Yeah.
No, Danny.
Danny really? Mowed the golf course?
Yeah. He was driving the farm all tractor.
I think maybe I did it once just for the photo op.
Yeah. That was my job.
But one of the things that RD and I had in common was all of his Harvard past and the fact that he had been fired, the first time anyone was fired in the history of Harvard. And because I was on the Graduate Student Colloquium Committee, I invited him back to give a talk. First time he came back to Harvard since he was fired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And as Richard Alpert or as Ram Dass?
First time as Ram Dass. And Ramesh, you had already invited him to Wesleyan, I think, by then.
I wasn't the one who invited him. I was surprised when he showed up there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He was invited by some people who had been students of his. You know, he did his master's at Wesleyan with David McClellan.
No, and the Winters were still there, weren't they?
Yes.
Graduate students.
They were the ones who invited him, yeah. Sarah and David Winter.
So they were pals that he knew. He knew them from Harvard.
Yeah.
From Harvard? Maybe from Wesleyan. David,
they were teaching at Wesleyan, by the way.
Anyway, yeah. So they invited him. So I invited him back. And as you remember, he was full of Shakti in those days. Like, he was just amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really.
Just that Wesleyan talk, he spoke until 3 a.m.
Yeah. Well, I had him till 2. I had to bribe the janitor to keep the place open because nobody stayed till 2 as a talk at Harvard. But he was amazing. And the next day at lunch, I'm with a professor. Remember, I'm in clinical psychology. And this guy leans over and he says, kind of in this confidential tone, tell me, do you think he's psychotic?
Who was it? Which professor?
I can't say. He's passed away, but he was ambitious.
If he died, you can definitely say.
He was extremely ambitious. I thought, you know, who's crazy here? This super ambitious guy or... I really liked what Ram Dass, two things I liked about Ram Dass's lecture that I still recall is his saying that, psychedelics are great, but you always come down when it leaves your system. And there's this other path where you may not come down, like Ning Crowley Baba never came down. And that really stuck with me.
Stuck with him, too.
Yeah. And that there could be a lasting change. So that's why I went into the path I went into. Hmm. It really, the three of us traveled to India together.
But how did you meet? Yeah. I know, I don't remember. You and
we met at Ram Dass the first summer.
Yeah.
First summer.
Which was 69 or 70. Yeah.
I already met Ramesh. He opened the door for me when I went up the first time to meet Ram Dass in New Hampshire. Hmm. And sometime in the winter of 68-69. Mm-hmm.
He said, I didn't say anything, and I just pointed upstairs.
You just like pointed up. I said, "Oh shit, let me get out of here before I get something happens. I got to get out." But I went upstairs, and of course, that changed my life.
Danny, who was the woman who took you up to New Hampshire? Was that Sarah Martin?
Her name? No. Her name was Cynthia, and I never saw her again.
Oh, huh.
She was the worm.
She completed her mission.
Yeah. Oh, and here's something really ironic. She came back because her sister was getting married. By the time she got to Boston, her sister had backed out of the wedding.
Oh.
So she had nothing. She was an art student in Paris.
That's
all I remember about her. I tried to find her on our way to India. Mm. And that's a story. I don't know if you've told it before, Ramesh and KD. One of you wrote a letter to KK, who was super close to Maharaji. What did the letter say and what did he say?
Hold on.
KD has the letter.
Or has the
one
letter.
I think we all wrote to him. I'm pretty sure I wrote to him also.
I don't remember writing to him. I was.
No, you did, Danny.
You did?
That's okay. Here's the letter.
and there was some key line, like he never closed. What was it?
He should read the letter.
He says, I hope Ram Dass must have told you about Sri Maharaji, who does not show any kind of enthusiasm or sentiment in calling the devotees to him, and personalities like him would not commit themselves to anything. So it would not be advisable to make the journey especially and specifically for this purpose only. However, if you happen to be visiting India and come here, you can have his darshan, as so many do, day in and day out. And that was the one.
Yeah.
That was the line. But, I don't know, you probably remember this, but many years later, KK says to me, did I ever tell you what really happened that day? I said, what do you mean? Well, he had letters from you, from Danny and Ramesh and myself, And he said, I brought the letters in to the room with Maharaji, and I put them down next to him on the tucket. And I began to peel and cut an apple and feed it to him. And he was talking to these other people in the room. And I was feeding him the apple, and he's talking, and he looks down and notices the letters, and he says, what's that? And this is KK speaking. I told him they were letters from students of Ram Dass, and, you know, they want to come have your darshan. Nate, tell them not to come. What do I have to do with this? So KK told me that he got very upset and began to pout. When KK could really pout, boy. And he stopped feeding Maharaji the apple, and he just looked down like this. And he was really upset. And he was upset because it was Maharaji who sent Ram Dass home with KK on his first visit and told him to serve Ram Dass. And he felt that by helping us, he was serving Ram Dass. And now Maharaji was interfering with the very service he gave KK to do. And this was not acceptable to KK. So he looks down. And he said Maharaji would push his head up. And so, Kailash, what's the matter? He would push his head up like this, but KK would look away. He wouldn't look at him. And then he'd take his hand, and he'd look back down like this. And this happened a few times. Then finally, he said, Maharaji threw his hands up. He says, okay, tell him what you want. So, should I read it again? As you know, he doesn't encourage, but his doors are always open. Another devotee, that's part of the Leela too. Another devotee would have just said, forget it, dudes. He doesn't want to see you. And we wouldn't be talking today. Mm-hmm. It would all been different. Yeah. Amazing, huh?
Raku, can you let me screen share? I found a photo I want to put up.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. There we are on the boat in Nainital on the lake.
Mm.
Oh.
Wow.
That's probably what, that's like within the first few days of being there.
Yeah.
Definitely. And this we're might wearing, be we, the first day. One sec.
We're wearing the beads, the pine beads, the malas, Ram Dass used to give out. Yeah. New Hampshire pine.
So what is this, October, no,
September,
something?
September 1970. Wow. Oh.
Remember that guy?
Nandu Chowdhury. Danny, you ate that chili pepper at his house.
This
salad.
Is how we found Maharaji. We're wandering around Nainital, not knowing where the hell to go.
Right.
And this guy, this kind Indian guy says,
up near the post office.
What, can I help you? He said, we said, we're looking for this guy, KK Shah. He says, oh, I know him. But first, come to my house and I'll give you some.
It turned out he was like the town drunk, this guy. Nandu Chowdhury.
He couldn't get darshan at Kenshi anymore.
Maharaji wouldn't see him? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he was in trouble.
He was very kind to us.
He was very kind.
Yeah. Mm.
So he's the one who found out that he called the board, I guess, the town office to find out that KK was not at work that day. He was in Kenshi.
That was usual for KK. I don't know if he ever went to that office.
Once or twice a month, maybe he went.
He said he used to go in there and he would do all his work in the first few hours and then he would take leave. what's his expression? Oh, he said, oh, yes, I used to take full liberty.
Full liberty.
Yeah. So, okay, I don't think I've ever heard from the three of you that first time, you know, when you were there in September, October, you went probably for a number of days down to Kenshi. But what about the very first day? Do you remember going down and your first day?
Yeah, we had been at Muktananda's ashram the week before at Ganeshpuri. And I had a picture of Nityananda in this little notebook. And I remember the picture fell out and he picked it up and he looked at him. You know, Nityananda looked like he's from another planet.
Yeah.
And he said, good yogi. Do you remember that?
Good sadhu. Good yogi.
Good sadhu.
Good sadhu.
Yeah.
Good sadhu. Yeah. Which from Maharaji is like God on earth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
he never gave praise.
Yeah. Very, I mean, why should he? He knew everything.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember he asked, he was very sweet and kind. He said, do you have sweaters? It gets cold. He gave us prasad.
Yeah.
And he was amazing. In all the ways, he's amazing.
Yeah.
I ate so much prasad that first time. It was like, I think I was not in my body until I think I ate 17 puris and 3 huge piles of potatoes.
Yeah. They just kept bringing more and more and more.
Dwarka Sa was feeding us, I think.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Yeah. And we were maybe among the very first Westerners to find Maharaji, I think.
Out of our group,
absolutely the first.
Yeah. Frank Surya Bhakta. Do you remember them?
Yeah, Frank and Chan. But before us, Bhagavan Das was there, and so was Surya Bhakta. He was there. Mm-hmm. And Surya, there was that English singer guy, Lordy, who we never met. Yeah. He was there and gone before we got there.
Very few. But the onslaught that became known as the Satsang arrived over the next months and years.
I remember I walked in and we were told to bring apples. So I brought my apples and I put them down next to Maharaji. And he picked them up and threw them to the other people in the room. And I went, oh, Jesus, he didn't accept my apples. He didn't accept. And he looked at me right away. He said, what did I do? Did I do right? What did I do? And I said, I don't know what you did. He said, everything comes from God and goes to God. He said, when you have God, you don't need anything. He said, when you have God, you have no desire.
Oh.
That was like the first thing he said, you know. I'm still working on that.
Yes.
did you see him? Was it a couple of weeks that you guys went down there on a day-to-day?
He wouldn't let us come every day. He would say, you know, come back on Thursday or come back on Friday. We were hanging out at the Evelyn in Nainital and, you know, getting stoned. There was...
just the three of you?
Yeah. At first, it was just the three of us.
Did, what was the woman's name other than Annapurna and that woman, Alice?
They didn't come with us. They came later.
They went
to Sai Baba. They went to see Sai Baba first.
Yeah. And then Annapurna somehow ended up with Abu Rinpoche up in Manali. I don't know.
Later. She met Dhammadipa and then they got married. They got together and came to Allahabad and then...
That was much later.
That was the next year.
From there, though, didn't you see Maharaji in another place before you went to the course in Bodh Gaya?
We saw him in Kanchi many times. He sent us to Missouri.
Missouri, that's it.
Yeah, he wasn't there.
That was Amrita and Pir Vilayat's fault.
Yeah.
His fault? Really?
Yeah, that's right. That's where the sunseed footage was done in that September, October, November time, 1970. Amartat showed up with Pir Vilayat and a little film crew.
I had worked with them on the film when they were shooting Sufi Sam in California.
Huh. Oh, you had? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was sort of a gopher.
Oh.
You know what a gopher is. You know, if somebody needs something, you go for it.
Yeah, gone for.
So they filmed us sitting in front of Neem Karoli Baba.
Yeah. And remember, they wouldn't let them record sound.
Or use lights.
Yeah.
They couldn't use the lighting.
No sound, no lights.
Yeah.
But it's really great footage.
And then when they left, he said, they're only in it for the money. He said it. I didn't say it. I'm just reporting.
Well, but Amrita is going to be calling you again. He wants to do the sequel now.
Yeah.
Maybe after he hears this, he won't.
Then we went to, they said there's this wonderful teacher in the
We got a telegram from him.
Is that what happened?
We got a telegram that said, see Baba under the clock tower.
No, Bhagavan. See Bhagavan under the clock tower in Missouri.
And, we weren't going anywhere. And then Maharaji said, you get a telegram? What did it say?
This is a, you so went we back
got sent to Missouri. Yeah.
Said, you went to back Missouri, to Kenchi.
And after. He said, come back on, I think it was November 20th.
Did he really? No, I don't think he told us when to come back.
Yeah, he did. Because we were in exile there.
Yeah, but that's not what happened. I mean, we were in Missouri. We kept walking around, doing as much as we could, reading books, getting bored. And then we finally decided, okay, this is enough. Let's walk down the Ganga to find Haridas in Haridwar. This is what we had decided to do that. And we were going to leave the next morning. And later that night, a telegram arrives. Maharaji says, come back.
Oh.
You don't remember that, huh? It's amazing how much.
I remember getting the telegram, no.
Yeah,
I remember getting back there, though, and he'd left.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't there when we came back.
So when did he say the thing? Did you get a telegram?
I don't remember it that way at all. Yeah, why did he send a telegram?
Well, I didn't remember the telegram, but I remember we got back. And then subsequently, Ram Dass arrived fairly soon after that. It was like mid-November. I think it was around November.
No, Ram Dass arrived when we were in, I was in Bodh Gaya. I don't know where you were. Weren't you with us? You were with me. Oh, no. Danny and I went off with Bhagavan Das.
Yes. Yep.
And then we wound up in Bodh Gaya. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You must have stayed somewhere else, Ramesh. I don't know where you were.
I think I stayed in Nainital or something.
Uh-huh.
Hoping Maharaji would come back.
Oh, yeah. So that's what... No. That's what happened, Ramesh. Maharaji was there when we got back because Bhagavan Das showed up.
Oh. Looking for a visa extension.
At Kenchi to try to get his visa. Remember? And I remember he comes in and he pranams and he's over. And then Maharaji says, go and get it. So he left the temple and he comes back with this thing wrapped up in it. And Maharaji says, give it to me. And he unwraps a skull cup. Mm. And Maharaji's tapping it going, lama, lama, ha ha, lama, lama, like this. And then, now take it away. So that happened after Mussoorie because then I think Maharaji disappeared and me and Danny went off with Bhagavan Das and we must have stayed in Nainital.
And we ended up in Bodh Gaya
where
Manindra had just invited Goenkaji to come and do courses. And Kay, did you remember doing Goenka courses in Bodh Gaya?
Sure, but we did one with Manindra first.
Yes, that's right.
And then
Ram Dass showed up with a bus that he had, and a bunch of people that had come overland in Bodh Gaya and did some courses with Goenka. But he didn't know where Maharaji was at that point.
No, came back to Nainital. And I remember we had Thanksgiving in Nainital.
Oh, okay.
And we played football on the mall.
No, that was next year. That's next year.
Next year.
Football,
Motorcycle Bob was there. Yeah. That's the next
confusing
year.
Confusing years. Yeah. That was 71.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the next year.
You know, we have one
and
brain.
Ram Dass didn't arrive in a bus.
No, the bus came with other people.
That's
the
right.
bus came later at the end, towards the end, and we took the bus out of Bodh Gaya.
Yeah.
And Ramesh, you were on that bus.
Yeah. And that's when,
Ramesh is the one who saw Maharaji.
Yeah. So let me tell you my part of that story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was between two of the Goenka courses, I had scooted over to Allahabad to see the Kumbh Mela, which was going on. And it was mind-blowing because there were like millions of sadhus and yogis and swamis and devotees in acres and acres of camp at the confluence of those two rivers, the Yamuna and the Ganges in Allahabad. So then I went back to Bodh Gaya and we had more of those courses. Ram Dass shows up. We all get on the bus. When we get to Allahabad, I told Ram Dass, we should go see the Mela. It's amazing. And when we got there, it was absolutely empty. It had ended before that.
Yeah.
And it was just sand. And I remembered there was a Hanuman temple over by the side of the Mela ground. I said, well, let's go to that temple. And now, Ramesh, you tell the story.
But wait a second. The most amazing part of the thing was all the way from Bodh Gaya to like the cutoff to Allahabad, we were arguing about whether we should go or whether we should go to the Mela or not. I just got a text from Amritat. I won't read it now. But we were arguing about whether we should go. Some people wanted to go. Ram Dass wanted to go right to Delhi to try to find out where Maharaji was. But there was like all this conversation. Should we go? Should we not go? What should we do? Finally, it was decided we'll go. We'll have a quick darshan of the place. And then we'll leave right away for Delhi. We thought, okay, it was a whole fucking drama of whether we'd go or not. And then we get there and the place is empty. And then the bus is making that long turn to go to see the Hanuman temple and Ramesh
yells out, "There's Maharaji! Stop the bus!" Maharaji.
Yeah, he's the one who saw him, and nobody else noticed him. Ramesh Lal. Then we get out of the bus, and everybody's crying and crazy, and
down
what's
on
going
her
on?
Knees in the dust and the dirt on the road.
Yeah, and Maharaji, and the thing was, the bus was going this way. Maharaji was walking this way, and he said to Dada. Dada told us later. They were just keeping walking. If we hadn't seen them, we would have missed them. He just said offhandedly to Dada, "They've come." So he instructed the bus to follow the little rickshaw through the streets of Allahabad.
Yeah, this Mercedes bus is trailing a bicycle big, rickshaw. Huge.
Yeah. No. And we get to the house. Mm-hmm. And Maharaji and this man who we left later realized was Dada. Goes into the house. And so we get off the bus and we're just like standing in the street. Now what? What do we do? And a lady comes out of the house and says, come in, come have your lunch. And we said, lunch? There's like 25 of us or something. I said, oh, yes. Maharaji woke us up this morning and told us to prepare lunch for 25 people that you would be coming. Yeah. Mm.
There's another time he did that in Vrindavan. I don't know if you want to tell that story.
Well, what's that? Before that,
Ramesh, go ahead.
Ram Dass, when he was talking about this, I mean, he was felt like he was the person who was going to decide whether we were going to Allahabad or not, and he was totally torn between that decision. And afterwards. So.
Yeah,
he realized, that was one of those moments where he realized that it maybe was not his decision.
Sure. Yeah, he used to tell that story all the time. And it came from that point of view of saying, I thought I was deciding something. I thought it's wonderful that way. So
the whole thing of all the arguing about it, should we, shouldn't we? And, it was already done.
Yeah,
it happened already. Lunch was already prepared.
Yeah,
exactly. We just had to show up and eat it.
Yeah, that's kind of an analogy for everything. So after that, though, then...
Wait, hold on. Danny was going to say something about Vrindavan.
Oh, yeah, Vrindavan.
Yeah,
because it's a similar situation. I remember KD. Ramesh, were you in
there? No, I had gone ahead because I actually went up to Nainital because I wanted to do a little retreat at KK's Kuti.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I took acid up there.
I didn't know that part. So KD and I...
That detour another time.
That's another story. KD and I and Dwarka and Ram Dass were in a VW van going up to Delhi. Ram Dass, maybe you, KD, had just done a tour with Muktananda. Is that right?
All of us had, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that and was that tour through South India.
Yeah.
The Vrindavan story.
I went to Gujarat to do a retreat, and I was picked up there. And then we go on, and we get to Vrindavan, and KD, you were driving. Do you want to tell the story?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, first of all, on the way south to meet with Muktananda, we stopped in Vrindavan because Maharaji said he'd meet us there. So we thought, if he meets us there now, we won't have to go south. We'll just stay with him. But we get there, the place is deserted. And nobody, the Chokidar said, I haven't seen Maharaji for months. So we proceeded to the south and did this incredible yatra with Swami Muktananda. Then we're heading back up north. We picked up Danny and Surat, right? Where you were in the caves.
Right. Surat. They called it a cave.
Yeah. Right. And so it was late at night. We arrived near Vrindavan, and we stayed at Krishna's birthplace, the Janambhumi, about halfway between Mathura and Vrindavan. And in the morning, we got up and drove to the temple. I was driving, and for some reason, I missed the right turn to the temple. And we wound up getting stuck in the bazaar with the horse, the cows, and the carts, and the people, and everything. And so we had to go over this whole circle, and maybe it took 20 minutes to get back to the temple. So it took us 20 minutes longer. So we get to the temple, and we pull up. There's nobody there. We get out of the car, and we go in. And the chokidar says, I don't know where Maharaji is. Haven't seen him. Oh, shit. What are we going to do now? I guess we'll go to Delhi. Let's go. We get back in the car. I put the key in the ignition. Mm. And I'm just about to turn the key. And a little Fiat screeches to a halt next to us. And out of the passenger seat, Maharaji gets out right next to me. The passenger seat gets out and he walks into the temple. He doesn't even look at us. He didn't even look at us. He just got out and walked into the temple. And we just were like, we were, And so we ran into the temple and we had the greatest darshans with him for like 3 or 4 days we had. Mm. So, but the funny thing is this, that many years later, Gurudat Sharma, one of Maharaji's old devotees, says to me, do you remember that I was with Maharaji that day in Vrindavan? I said, no, I didn't remember that. Yes, he said, in the middle of the night, I was asleep in, it was either Kanpur or Lucknow, in a room full of devotees. And in the middle of the night, Maharaji came in and he tried to wake me up, but I couldn't wake up. So he picked me up, he put me over his shoulder. He carried me out of the room and put me in the back of a car. And I woke up like an hour later in this car driving, you know, in the middle of the night. He said, we drove and drove and drove. Maharaji kept saying, go faster, go faster. And then just outside of Vrindavan, Maharaji said, stop. So the car pulls over and Gurudev said, I thought it was maybe a pee stop, but Maharaji just sat there for 20 minutes. And then he says, Jello, let's go. And he arrived just as I was about to turn the key in the ignition. Yeah. He actually timed it to arrive at the moment of greatest despair when we were going to leave into the unknown. We didn't know where he was, where we were going to find him. He timed it. I mean, it's impossible to believe that. It's like you can't. Okay that he can do that, but why would he do that? You know, it's like, I don't understand, you know? It's just like, what? You know, what?
Actually, the best part is that he didn't even look at you when he walked in.
He didn't even look at, it's like the car wasn't there. And it was like, you know, a foot away from where I was sitting in the driver's seat, watching him get up. He just walked into the temple.
That's so great.
See if I can get this one. There's the van.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah. That didn't last too long. We used to fill with like 18 people, 20 people, and drive to Kenchi. So Maharaji killed it.
Yeah. Well, then he said, take it to Delhi, remember?
Yeah. Eventually he said, take it to Delhi. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was too funny.
So from there, you went up to the mountains, right? I mean, I think, but not until late April, May. You didn't see you did the course, you went to Vrindavan and so on. So from there, you must have gone to the mountains in the spring, right?
Yeah.
April or something like
that. We might have seen Maharaji in Vrindavan later in the spring. I don't remember what happened right after that time.
Hmm. I remember what happened during that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was the time Ram Dass gave him 3 hits of acid.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Kenchi.
It would change.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. The second time.
The second time in Kenchi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. First so you were up there.
No. The first time was in Bhumiadhar, first time Ram Dass met him, and the second time was in Vrindavan.
Oh, in Vrindavan he gave
him. Yeah, we were sitting there. And Maharaji looks at Ram Dass and he says, when you were in India last time, did you give me medicine? Ram Dass said, yes. And Maharaji said, did I take it? Ram Dass said, well, I think so, yeah. You see, Ram Dass has been telling the story that Maharaji took the acid and nothing happened to him. And most everybody was okay with it. But people used to say, oh, come on, he scammed you. He threw it over his shoulder. Come on, nobody could take that much acid. Mm. So there was a tiny little bit of doubt in Ram Dass's mind.
And he'd been sitting off to the side, he said, the first time, a little bit. So it could have gone over his shoulder.
Right. So Maharaj says, did I take it? And Ram Dass said, I think so. So got any more? Yeah. give it to me. So this time he puts it out, holds it on his hand. Maharaji gives, he takes one pill and he goes, two pills. Just like that, three pills. And he sits there for a minute and then he says, can I drink water? Cold water? Hot water? Yes, so bring me water. So he drank some water. Then after a couple of minutes, he takes his blanket and he pulls it up over his head like this. And then he comes out of it like, and goes to close again, you know, like this. And I was sitting right next to Ram Dass, and I had never seen a person turn purple before. Ram Dass turned purple because he must have thought, shit, he didn't take it the first time. And now he knew I had doubts. He wants to prove he could take it. I've killed my guru. This is like, you know, he was really ready. And then just at that moment, Maharaji stopped and he said, ah, come on, this is just... Yogis have known about this for thousands of years. He used to grow up in the Kulu Valley. A yogi would go, he would do asana pranayama, bring his mind to one point, and then he'd take the yogi medicine and go through the door. Mm. That's what he said. Mm. It seemed to him, it seemed to be that Ashtanga yoga was a preparation for taking the soma. Mm. Once you brought your mind to one point, then you took the soma and went through the door. If your mind wasn't at one point, you would get, you know, as we would, you know, when we had our trips, we would get all over the place. Hmm. So.
Oh. And then, so following that, that's when really the Westerners came, coming up into the mountains. You must have gone up to the mountains after that, because that's probably where I met you.
Yeah. Oh, we went to Kosani, didn't we?
No. I met you in Nainital when I came.
That was later.
Balaram Das and I came at the same time, and that was the beginning of May 1971. We came there. I had been in India for 4 or 5 months, 6 months, and Ram mm-hmm. Das just kept saying, I don't know where he is. But finally, I met him, and I met you guys coming back from the Muktananda thing at Muktananda's, and we stayed up in that. On that roof of Baba Shetty, maybe his name was?
Yeah, Babu Shetty.
Babu Shetty.
Yeah. Remember Babu Shetty? He was so kind to us.
Yeah. And then, anyhow, Ram Dass wasn't there. He was still at Muktananda's. But I met you, the three of you. But the first night, as soon as I got there, I met you, Krishnadas, and Ramesh. And then you took me to meet you, Danny, who was in a room with your girlfriend, Maya, Tanasuya. And
he was trying to think which one was that.
But was that in Evelyn Hotel?
Yeah.
Evelyn Hotel.
Which was where the Westerners stayed.
Yeah.
And then went to see Maharaji and Kenshi during the day.
But when I went and we went down, there was just Dwarka and the four of us, Anasuya, and Ian from England. And that so really comparatively very few. And then the Westerners started really coming that spring.
Is that when we took that picture?
Yep.
Well, Ramesh, do you have that picture?
Well, the picture was taken in the fall, so the I believe, of 71, after we came back.
But also Harinam and Mariam were there.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And,
this is the front of the Evelyn Hotel.
Where's why? You know, Harinam and Mariam aren't in this picture. Wonder why.
I don't
recall.
They
stayed somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
Oh, did they?
I think so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were their own thing.
So they
stayed by themselves, yeah.
Hmm. Kind of the core satsang. It expanded after this.
Yeah.
Danny.
Nainital High.
Danny,
Nainital High.
Do you I don't think you remember this, but when I walked in the room with you and Anasuya, who was known then as Maya, I was blown away because I knew her as the girlfriend in Montreal of a DJ I had hired as a program director of CKGM.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I was like, holy God, what are you? And I had seen her. She had been at Muktananda's prior to that when I was there, Swami Muktananda. And I couldn't believe it was her, so I never even went up to her. You know, it was from a distance I was leaving. But then suddenly she's there. I'm going, because I had no idea she was interested in spirituality or anything whatsoever.
She actually had a different guru before Karoli. She was in a city called Bhopal with that sadhu. And somehow Maharaji knew that.
Right. I remember that. You used to talk about that. Yeah.
So when I sat down, when we all sat down, so the first time for me of seeing Maharaji, she was sitting to my right. And the very first thing he said to that was pointed in anywhere near me was, "Oh, you two friends from Canada?"
No.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the first thing I got. And we both looked at each other. Oh, my God. And then also during that darshan, her name was Maya at the time, and he went right up in front of her face and over, "Maya, Maya," in the most loving, embracing, intimate way. I'm looking like, oh, my God. She turned beet red. Right. This was just absolutely blew her out and everybody else in the moment. Mm. I mean, I remember it just because I couldn't believe she was there in the first place. So, yeah. And then
I never heard this around when I introduced you to Parvati, I think, too. Right?
That was later. That was later because they came. Parvati didn't come with Mohan and Radha until the fall of 71 because they had gone to see Sai Baba. So after we came back from Kosani, that's when that happened. And that was quite a trip. Kosani, that should be in the
Jesus
book as well. had that lovely little place with Anasuya.
I went back to find that place. It was destroyed. I mean, just the roof caved in.
Which, the house at the top of the hill. Yeah,
Lakshmi Ashram. Yeah. We stayed at Lakshmi Ashram.
Is it still there or not there?
No. That's still there.
Lakshmi Ashram is there, but the house is broken down. The roof fell in, and it's just ruins now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful spot.
That was the house where I stayed?
Yeah. Were you, Ramdas at first, and Dwarka, and Balaram was there too.
Yeah, yeah. Danny, you stayed, you were in a separate house.
We rented a house for Mr. Negi. Yeah. We lived above the cow, I remember
Oh.
Yeah. That was later. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was quite a summer. Mm. When Indraji said he would come, but he never showed up.
That's why we went up there to get a place for him to. He was going to take us across. We were going to enter the stream. That was our thing.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah, as it turned out, we just got rained out with all kinds of slugs and leeches.
Mm. Yeah, it was a monsoon.
Leeches, yeah, remember you used to have to put salt on the leeches? Remember?
Yeah.
And if you went out for a minute, they would get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Can I fast forward? Because I just have Ram Dass's stroke.
That's a real fast forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was visiting us in St. John's where Tara and I were before he had the stroke. And I remember saying, "I'm not taking my blood pressure medicine. I'm taking some Chinese medicine instead."
Yeah.
And he had a horrible earache, which was actually an early sign of the stroke. Mm. But he didn't recognize it as such. Then he had the stroke. And we called him, Tara and I, when he was in the hospital after the stroke, which was horrible. No, people thought he might not live, if you remember.
Yeah.
And we asked him, "Are you suffering?" And he said, "When I think of the past or the future, there's suffering. But when I'm in the present, there's no suffering." Mm-hmm. Which, was...
He was really, able to say that, to speak...
He was able to get it out, And then... He also said very slowly, he was very aphasic at that time, if you remember, struggling for words.
Yeah.
He told us, "The doctors think consciousness is in the brain, but my consciousness hasn't been affected by what happened to my brain." He was actually thinking, I think, really clearly. Mm. He said that to Tara, right, probably a couple of months after the stroke. He was still in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, he recovered enough to have retreats, KD and Ramesh, you were there, to write those books with you, Ramesh?
Well, that was after. I mean, that first book he finished, which was Still Here.
Uh-huh.
And
was that the book he was working on when he had the stroke?
Yeah. And he thought this was this kind of magical reality thing. He thought that he had created the stroke to finish the book.
Oh, really?
Because he'd gone and taken a nap and tried to imagine what it would be like to be really old and disabled and stuff.
Then he got the stroke.
He told me that he had been on acid when he had the stroke, which is why he didn't know it was a stroke. That he was everything you said, he was trying to imagine what it was like being old, and he had taken the acid, and then this is what it's like being old. I wonder what happened here. And then it turned out he finally realized this is not just the acid, this is something else. That's why he waited so long to get in touch with Jai Lakshman, and they had a code that somebody would call, and then they could tap on the phone or something if there was a problem, something like that.
Hmm. I never heard that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he told me that.
Hmm. Wow. When I was working with him on the memoir, he had forgotten a lot of what happened right around the stroke. And he didn't say anything about being on acid, but he may just have, lost some of that.
Hmm. I think he must have told me that the first time I visited him. You know, it was about a year after the stroke. He was living in San Anselmo. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I remember that house.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. He was trying to replace the blood pressure medicine with Chinese medicine. And my understanding was he hadn't really started with the Chinese medicine yet. But
oh, really?
Maybe that's. I think that's what he told me. I don't know where I would have gotten that information if he didn't tell me. So,
so but then it became quite beautiful after the stroke.
Yeah. He said to me, the stroke saved my life. He said, without the stroke, I just think he had been so, he was really suffering from such heavy stuff, emotional stuff. There was like a lot of anger. A lot of stuff. And he said the stroke just, destroyed it, right? Wiped it out. And now, he said, he had to really work with his pride, because everything had to be done for him. Mm-hmm. Eventually he couldn't even turn himself in bed. He had to accept help for everything. So he really overcame pride. And really surrendered. And of course, at first he used to say, Maharaji stroked me. Mm. But when he went to India, the first and only time after the stroke, Siddhima jumped on him and said, Ramdas, Maharaji did not give you that stroke. The stroke is your karma. What Maharaji gives you is the strength to overcome it, to work with it, to transcend it. So after that, he changed his thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Mm. But in fierce grace, it's presented the way he used to think about it, that he stroked me, he used to say. But Siddhima said no. And you can see the karma and the decisions he made to stop taking the blood pressure medicine, et cetera, for whatever reasons. And then that's the next thing.
When he married us on the vineyard, KD, you came to that.
Yeah, I was the cantor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And... he was dancing with Kate, the reception afterwards, and he kind of collapsed on the dance floor.
Yeah, right.
That, was another one of those precursors that nobody quite got.
Danny,
how long before the stroke was that?
That was the end of November, and the stroke was in... February, I think.
Oh.
What year was that?
97. The stroke was February 97.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Danny, for your book, there's one beautiful moment. I don't think you've seen it. You did once with Ram Dass when you went to visit him in Maui. You did a Skype thing with him that we used to do. And Ram Dass, he was with somebody and then visiting, and they would just chat and so on. So I found this piece and we put it into this beautiful little vignettes of Ram Dass in Maui over the 15 years.
Oh.
And there's this one piece with you and he. And you told what you told the story about bringing him back to Harvard and so on. And that guy who said, you know, is he psychotic? That whole thing, yes. You told earlier.
Oh, I told that story. Yeah.
You told the story in Ram Dass, the interaction with you and he in that moment. It's just spectacular. I mean, he loved it. Yeah. He loved that story. Somehow you should get a hold of it.
Ram Dass and I and Tara, we were very tight for many, many years, as with each one of you, too. He was the best man at the wedding for Tara and me. Mm-hmm. And he built a room for himself in our house in Worcester, Massachusetts. We spent a lot of time. And at the end, the last time I really had a conversation with R.D., he was helpless, as you say, Katie, but you didn't think of him as helpless because he was so alive and so there, even though he couldn't move most of his body.
Yeah.
You know, he had one arm and all of his face and, you know, he was there. And his mantra was, I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. And I was, we had a very profound conversation about the way in which that was quite aligned or resonated with the Tibetan approach, which was a path I ended up pursuing, of emptiness of the ego, but awareness with a kind of light and knowing and a lot of compassion. And the loving awareness, it just seemed like it just fit together beautifully. Yeah. And he really embodied it. And that was my sense of it, of him at the end.
Yeah.
He was, how'd you put it? He was the guy that you always thought he was? KD?
I used to tease him. I used to say, you finally become the guy we thought you were 40 years ago. And he would laugh. He'd go, ha, 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 ha. But, you know, truthfully, when most of the time he was in that state, that really open state, but he did have moments when he was really stuck. Mm-hmm. I remember one time I came to the beach on Monday late. That was the beach day on Maui, and I was heading for the beach, and then I saw him sitting alone in the car in the parking lot. So I walked over, and the door was open. I kind of, you know, knelt down and just sat there for a minute, and he was just ruminating. He was just like, and he looked at me, and he said, "We're fakes." He said, "I'm a fake." And I said, "Yeah, I'm a fake too." Then I looked at him and I said, "But we're real fakes." And he laughed so hard. It was so great.
That's great. That's really great.
Yeah, there were moments when, you know, just like in all of us, you get stuck in that stuff. And it's sticky stuff. But he really, as the years went on and the moments went on, boy, he didn't spend much time in that place. He was so deep
and light.
We had such fun when we were working on the book. I mean, we really laughed a lot, and I think it was his way of not taking himself so seriously all the time.
So we're talking about a book. We should mention Ramesh with Ram Dass put together beautiful memoir. And there, Danny's holding it up. And every one of us who read the book most likely would say, "Oh, geez, I thought I knew everything." You know, people like these guys who were there from 68 and then onward through all of us. It's amazing that in that sense, but amazing in all ways. It's a beautiful book, Ramesh.
It's very curious the way it's sort of having its own life now, and Ram Dass is sort of continuing, you know, to meet people that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people.
Right. Yeah, that's
great. Still happening. It's going to be printed in India.
Yeah. Oh, Danny, you got to go. We're going
to
end.
I need
right
to leave,
here.
But don't stop. If
don't
you want to continue.
Jagana, okay, thank you for pulling us together.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's such
just
fun to
hang.
Be with you all.
Yeah,
really
wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, Danny.
See you soon.
We shall see you.
I'm on.